Good evening. I can assure you that growth will occur tonight because they always say in order for you to grow spiritually or grow in your life that you need to get out of your comfort zone. And I can assure you that there are at least four of us tonight that are out of our comfort zone. And so I'm sure that there will be some growth and development occur. And you know, I've stood before children and talked for years and felt quite comfortable with that role. But there's something about whenever you stand before a group of people that have a great deal of wisdom about what you're talking about that is somewhat intimidating. And this fan blowing down here is the other factor that's very intimidating because I'm not used to that at all. And so I don't know whether I'm shaking or that fan's just blowing real hard. But if I fall down, you know what happened. The fan blew me over. So tonight we were asked to speak to you about prayer and just some of the many facets of prayer. And I know in each and every one of our lives, we each have a relationship with God. And I think in our relationship with God, prayer is one of the greatest blessings that God gave us in this world. And I think that, you know, we all want to go to heaven. And we live our life and we talk about going to heaven and we think about going to heaven and we try to do the things that will enable us to someday be there with God in heaven and have that opportunity to experience all the things that we consider to be wonderful. Well, in the world that we live in, there are a lot of adversities that we face. There are a lot of challenges and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of suffering that takes place in the world that we're in. Prayer is that avenue for us to turn those things over to God and to allow Him to shoulder that responsibility and to give us the strength to be able to take each day one step at a time and to be successful. And as we go through the lesson tonight, because it is divided into several segments, I would like for you to continue those thoughts. And of course, each of the men that will be coming before you tonight will have scripture to substantiate the ideas that they will be talking about. One of the things that I noticed as I began to look at this was that there's so many examples in the Bible of prayer. And there are so many different ways that it can strengthen our life. And I think that tonight we need to think about that as we go through this lesson. One of the things that I began to think about as I looked at this, and they wanted me to do an introduction and not take very long doing it, so I'm going to try to expedite this as quick as possible and let the guys that have the actual lesson get on with what they've prepared. But I think that as we go into this, we need to think about the fact that for us to be successful in prayer, I think that we have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves before God as we come to Him in prayer. And I think that is something that is essential to us in order to be successful in prayer. I think another thing that we need to always consider is that we need to be patient. We always need to be patient in our prayer. And we may pray over something for many, many months or maybe even years, but there will be an answer. Now, it may not be the answer that we were looking for, because sometimes we tend to set a plan for how we want things to go, and our plans sometimes don't coincide with God's plans for us. And so I think that we have to always be patient. And last but certainly not least, I think that we need to have faith. faith in God that our prayers will be answered, and that they will be answered in accordance to His will. And I think these are things that we certainly want to consider. We do all understand that, you know, prayer is our dialogue with God. It gives us that closeness, that opportunity to be close to God in a way that maybe we don't experience in any other part of our life or any other part of our day. And I think that a lot of times that peace of mind that we gain from prayer is what gives us the strength to go through some things that at times we feel like we're not going to be able to get through. And so I think that, you know, prayer is very powerful in that way. Prayer also leads us to a more meaningful communion with our God. And as we speak with God, I think that we realize that is a form of worship. And we certainly please God when we pray to Him. I think that prayer also leads to a greater understanding of God's will, for us. Because I think a lot of times in the world that we live in, we're very, very confused. We're confused about the action that we need to take. And I think a lot of times through prayer, it clears that up for us to where it helps us to better understand what it is that God really wants us to do. And this gives us direction. It gives us focus. It gives us a greater meaning in our life. Prayer is a blessing and a privilege for the righteous. I believe God hears our prayers. I truly believe that. And I think that, you know, in my life, you know, I'm very thankful for that avenue of prayer. And I know that you feel the same way, because that is a time that we're very, very close to God. I'd like to take just a moment to read Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Not only did God give us many examples, but He set before us a pattern of prayer. And I think that that's something that we can all use in our life each day to give us greater strength and greater understanding of what His will is for us. So as we go through the lesson tonight, if you would just consider the thoughts and ideas that I shared with you. And at this time, Dwight will bring the first segment of the lesson.
I'm honored to be able to come up here. I saw in the bulletin today where it said the young men would speak. And I thought, boy, look at here, you know. So I'm the youngest one up here too. So boy, I didn't know I was so young, you know. I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. It's the same way with prayer. A lot of times prayer is in the eye of the beholder too. And a lot of times if we're not careful, we forget a lot of things about prayer. One of the most important things is that we need to realize that God is the moving force of prayer. We talked in Sunday school this morning, we had a lesson on prayer, and we talked about how a lot of times we pray, we don't think really of who we're praying to, or the awesome power of God, this deity that we have. God is awesome. And we're taught to pray from when we're little children on up. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we take prayer for granted. Prayer is something that should be done in the right manner. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's mentioned in both Matthew chapter 6 and Luke, some of which Kyle read earlier. And as Jesus was teaching them, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus realized that moving force of prayer, the awesome power of God. And in this passage, or in both of these chapters, Jesus is teaching his disciples that God is who they need to rely on. And that's who we need to rely on. We don't need to take our prayers for granted. We're talking to the God who created everything. He's awesome. He is a supreme being. And God intends for his children to pray. He intends for us to rely on him and to be concerned about all humankind, not just ourselves. As Jesus said these things in the Lord's Prayer, he addressed intimate communication with God. He also showed reverence for God and a respect for God's will. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wrote, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men." When we say first of all, we're usually setting a high priority in what we are describing. You know, if I say I need to lose weight, first of all, I need to quit eating so much, right? I mean, there's a first of all to most things that we do. If someone doesn't want to have lung cancer, first of all, they need to stop smoking. Things are not always easy, but there is a first of all. It's the same way with us. First of all is what he says here. That's what he means. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." First of all, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we need to make sure that we have this in mind when we pray. We should pray that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And as Christians, we need to realize that we need God's help in order to live a life as a Christian should. We ask for his help how? In prayer. God is the moving force in people's lives and in our prayers. Israel was a nation that was established in prayer. God heard the cries of the people, was aware of their plight, and in Exodus 3, verses 7 through 10, it tells us that he came down to deliver them. He delivered them through a man we know as Moses. Prayer was not also evident in Exodus. You look throughout the Bible. In Psalm 6, we see that prayers were for healing, strength in distress. In Psalm 57, there were prayers seeking protection and safety. In Psalm 63, praise, expressions of joy and fellowship with God. And in Psalms 107, prayers of thanksgiving for deliverance and vindication. The Bible's full of prayers. That's a lesson to us. In Jonah chapter 2, we see that God's not limited by these prayers. He heard the prayers of Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale. You know, God's not limited like our minds are limited. We can pray to God no matter where we are. Now, Jesus knew prayer was important and taught his disciples to pray, as we've seen in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. But the prayer emphasizes how to pray rather than what to pray. A lot of times we look at it wrong. In Matthew 6 and 5, he told them, this is right before the Lord's Prayer, he tells them not to pray as the hypocrites who love to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they can be seen by men. This tells us that they were praying for the wrong reason. So just praying is not the right thing. We have to pray with the right reason. We shouldn't pray to impress others, and prayers is not something we do to get even with others. I've heard people say, "Well, I'll pray that something happens to them." That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is not a tool that we use to get everything that our heart desires. In James 5, 16 through 18, the Bible tells us that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And then something that's very important, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whenever, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In Acts 2:42, it tells that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine of fellowship, breaking bread, and in prayers. And Christians know that prayers are very powerful, and we know that the source of that power is God. And we also know that he will answer our prayers. But as Kyle said, it's not always, you know, I want mine answered yes every time. And I want it answered right now every time. I want to see those results as soon as I get through. But he will answer our prayers. Yes, no, or something that I don't like to hear very often. Be patient and wait. Now Tom will speak to us a few moments.
Good evening. I hope all of you are comfortable. Those young men that they keep talking about, they're going to come in the second wave after we're done. So it's going to be a while. We're talking about prayer tonight. Among the many things we know about Jesus are these. Jesus was the master teacher. Jesus prayed often. And the prayers that we read of in the Bible that were prayed by Jesus always had a purpose. Some of the more notable recorded prayers of Jesus involved the most intense portion of his brief life here on earth as follows. There was the night of his betrayal. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for his believers. He prayed immediately before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he prayed fervently of his desire to be relieved of what he soon had to endure, but that he was willing to do his Father's will regardless. That's in Matthew chapter 26, 36 through 46. Jesus prayed at least three times during his crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, and Luke 23, 34 and 46, he asked God why he had forsaken him. He asked his Father to forgive those who had crucified him, and he asked God to accept his spirit. Jesus obviously prayed often, and the Bible tells us about several of his prayers that marked important points in his life. One was at the beginning of his ministry, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, when he was baptized. Another was when Jesus chose his apostles, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Here Jesus literally spent the entire night in prayer before he chose those 12 apostles. It seems that even Jesus did not make an important decision without first praying to God. Do you remember the last time you made a big decision? Did you ask God's guidance? Did you ask him to help you make that decision? After feeding the 5,000, he felt a serious need to pray also. He sent his apostles away to the other side of the lake, and he sent the multitudes away. Then he himself went into the mountains to pray, according to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. It seems that Jesus just wanted to be alone with God. In John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, Jesus prayed for the benefit of others. The occasion was the death of his good friend Lazarus. The scripture reads, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people that are standing by, I said this, that they might believe that you sent me.' Jesus immediately called upon Lazarus to come forth from the grave." Just as prayer was important to Jesus, so should it be to those who follow him and his Father. Prayer should be a part of the daily lives of those who claim to be Christians. Okay, so if prayer was important to Jesus and Jesus prayed purposely, what are some of the reasons that we might pray? One is to seek help to overcome temptations to sin. In Matthew 26 and 41, we're told, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Anyone who thinks they can do this all by themselves is delusional. It should be the case that a mature Christian can more easily resist the devil, but even a tried and true Christian can succumb to temptation. We know that King David sinned, as did other great characters of the Bible. A second, we need to pray to God to confess our sins when we do fail. James 5 and 16, as has been read earlier, said, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much," and asked for forgiveness in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 22. Another, those who desire to study and learn the truths of God need to ask special blessings from God in order that they might be successful. Acts 10, chapter 30, verse 31 gives the example of Cornelius. It said, "Your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God." And James 1, 5 through 8 reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Another purpose that we might pray for is in times of tribulation, we should pray through Christ to our God. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. This is when Paul was in prison and he was singing and praying with others there at midnight to God. Also, it is important for us to pray for our society, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. In Luke chapter 6, we're told that we all pray for those that we love, but Jesus taught us to even pray for our enemies. James 5 and 16, we are to pray for the church and for our fellow Christians. In addition, God wants us to pray for the leaders of the church, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. In our Christian lives, we need strength and boldness to endure, and we can seek God's favor in obtaining such, according to Ephesians chapter 6. And finally, we are to pray to God and tell him of our needs in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6, and thank him for the many blessings he provides for us each and every day, according to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I believe that we can see the need for daily prayer in our lives. It's been said that prayer is the respiration of the soul, the intimate bond with one's Creator and Savior. Others have said that it is somewhat like a plant in need of water. A plant cannot live without water, and so it is with our souls in prayer. Now Henry is going to talk about another aspect of prayer and conclude our lesson tonight.
Well, those of you that were in Sunday school with me last week, some of this is going to be a little bit of a repeat. Because Dan's asked me to speak a little bit about conditions and attitude in prayer. As we all know, attitude is everything. By our thoughts and actions, they'll take us far if we have the right attitude. First thing we need to do is we've got to be willing to forgive in order to be forgiven. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus says, "When you pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." He said anything against anyone. He didn't say those that we want to forgive or those that we like that might have done something against us, but anything against anyone. Remember, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what did he ask God to do? He asked God to forgive them. They knew not what they were doing. We're talking about someone that had just driven nails through his hands and feet and beat him unmercifully. But he asked God to forgive them. So it's easy to see that we have to have a forgiving attitude and a forgiving heart in order to have an effective prayer life. We must be faithfully obedient and exhibit positive attitudes. Attitudes like humility, which have been spoken to already. Jesus said that whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And also in 1 Peter 5:5, it said that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we need to humble ourselves and be righteous before God. We need to exhibit an attitude of faith. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. But there are a couple of conditions when we pray that would have to be met. And that is, as long as we ask in accordance to God's will. Now, that doesn't always mean that we are always going to know exactly what God's will is going to be, because as Dwight said, sometimes the answer is no, even though we ask for it. So, but we can know the kinds of things that God wants us to know. And also we must ask in Jesus' name, according to John 13:14. We need to be sure that we don't exhibit the negative attitudes, as I think Dwight mentioned, Jesus commenting on the hypocrites standing in the synagogues and on the street corners because they want to be seen by men. They've gotten their reward. We don't need to be ritualistic in our prayers. Jesus said, babbling on like pagans because they think they're heard because of their many words. We don't need to be doubtful. In James 1:6, it says we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. We don't need to be just blown and tossed wherever. We need to be firm in what we believe. We also don't need to be selfish. I don't think our prayers will be answered if we are selfish. In James 4:3, says, when you ask and you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. We need to forget about self and think of others. Don't be selfish in your prayers. Has anyone ever heard of a joy prayer? Thank God for Jesus first, others, and then put yourself last. Finally, we don't want to be guilty of having corrupted behavior or corrupted character. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Not that we're never going to sin. We certainly will. But our heart must be right, and our efforts must be godly, because God will turn away from those that are evil. Hopefully, with God's help, we can all improve our prayer life and spend more time in meaningful prayer in each of our own lives. Maybe there's someone here tonight that is lacking in their prayer life. Maybe there's someone here tonight that is lacking because they're not a Christian, because they haven't obeyed God's commands to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Or maybe there's someone here that would just like the prayers of the church here. Whatever your need, if you have a need, if you please come forward while we stand and sing. There's a fountain.